Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special carpaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Of course the carpaccio is good. I mean, we've never had bad carpaccio. Sal is on the AT&T hotline joining us for Football Friday. He's going to take us behind the scenes with the Bills, brought to you by Outlet Liquor for the lowest everyday prices in the state. Shop Outlet Liquor. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. How are you today?
Excellent, guys. Good morning to you.
So,
much better atmosphere on Sunday considering the rain you stood in last week. We're looking at 84 and sunny.
Oh, I was checking the weather forecast on the flight home from Baltimore for this week to make sure, guys, to be honest with you. It's going to look really, really good. And, on that note, just really thinking about people down in the Carolinas today. I know we have a lot of transplanted Buffalonians down there, some who call your show. Charlotte's a big area that's going to get a little bit hit here. But you guys know, I say it every year, I've gone through these things. It really is... really, really is terrible. You don't want to do it. You think it'll be okay, and then you go through these things, and it's some of the worst stuff you could imagine. So anyway, just thinking about people down there, and I'm glad we're not dealing with that here, and I'm glad we're going to have really sunny skies and warm weather this weekend.
One thing, Sal, there was a Weather Channel, I think it was a Weather Channel thing, about the storm surge.
Yeah, the special effects thing with the woman and the water going up. Oh my God, that was amazing.
I think that was really important because, I think people, I've never been through a hurricane. I think about wind and rain and the damage, but I guess I never think about the storm surge and what it's like to have 3, 6, 9 feet of water, rolling through parts of your town that can sweep away cars.
It's funny you say that, Jeremy, because I was saying yesterday to some people in the media room, we had the Weather Channel on the TV, and we were having the same discussion, and I said, you know what's funny to me? I said, you shouldn't just go by whatever the category is for the hurricane for the winds. People see, oh, category 2, that must not be that bad. Right. You should have a separate scale, and I think someday they will do this. You should have a separate scale for wind plus storm surge, or just tell us what the storm surge is separately, because that's what kills people. The wind doesn't kill people. It's the flooding that kills people because the storm surge, and it is ridiculous how high it can get. Right now, I just read a story. It's already up to 10 feet in some areas down.
Oh, geez.
Well, that's why this special effect. So the woman is standing there basically like as if she were on the front lawn of a house on the corner of a street.
Yeah.
And they're showing, okay, 3 feet and then 6 feet, and it's over her head. But they also have a car behind her. And now at 6 feet, I think the car was floating.
The car floats at 3 feet.
3 feet, and then it's 6, and then it's 9. Like, you can barely see the street sign. It was really effective in terms, and the message was, don't screw around. If you think it's not as bad as people are telling you, when storm surges occur, look at what 6 to 9 feet of water is like. Get the heck out when they tell you to get the heck out. It was really effective.
Yeah, it is, and there's more coming, by the way. There's more out there this year, so everybody's got to be prepared and watch out. So, yeah, we hope that everybody stays safe down there. I know it's impacted college football this weekend already. I don't think it's impacting the NFL because I think the Panthers are on the road. But like I said, luckily we're not dealing with that here, and it's going to be over 80 on Sunday. Now, that might be L.A.'s type of weather, but it's also going to be 10 in the morning for them. Yeah. So,
Sal, did you watch last night and freak out in the first half? Like, a lot of Bills fans were seeing the Bengals put it to Baltimore and thinking, oh my God, this has got to be something terrible. This means Baltimore's not that good and the Bills are even worse.
I did not freak out, but I knew what was happening on social media, and I didn't even go on because I knew exactly
what people were saying. It's a good thing you didn't.
No, because I knew that would happen. In fact, I'll be honest, before the game, my wife said to me, you know what's going to happen tonight, right? Cincinnati's going to blow out Baltimore, and everybody's just going to say, oh, my God, how bad can the Bills be? And then suddenly it's 3 touchdowns in the first half, and she said, see? And look, here's the thing. Here's why. These Thursday night games, you just never know. We've seen so many of them go sideways over the years. It's a weird night to have a game. You never know the preparation. And since he actually has played Baltimore very well over the years in the Marvin Lewis era, they won that game last year to get into the keep them out of the playoffs, the Ravens that we know about so much. So I was not freaking out about it, Jeremy, to be honest with you. But Cincinnati was my team to go to the AFC Championship game this year. Yeah. They are good. It's not surprising to me that they have enough talent to score against the Baltimore Ravens.
The you know, Josh Allen, I want to ask you first and foremost about Josh Allen Sunday. What can the offensive coordinator do when starting a young quarterback? You know, Monday Night Football, if you're watching, they were talking about, I think it's Jeremy Bates and what game plan he was putting together for Sam Darnold. How can Brian Daboll help out Josh Allen Sunday in his debut?
It's a great question, and I think it really starts with LeSean McCoy. You know, and I'm not saying that they should have had him more in the game plan last Sunday. Once the game got away from them, you have to go away from that a little bit, but I think that was probably the game plan there as well, and now it really, I think, comes into effect with Josh Allen. I think this Bills team, the way that they're constructed, we said it all year, we said it all summer, that, you know, they're going to be a run-first team anyway. Well, now it's really more important, I think, to be a run-first team. They're going to have to establish something on the ground to at least give the threat of LeSean McCoy running to then allow Josh Allen to do what he does best, which is, you know, throw the deep ball, throw it downfield, be aggressive. And if the Chargers have to worry a little bit more about LeSean McCoy in the running game and have to creep up a little bit, you know, that'll give Josh Allen a little more one-on-one coverage to be able to identify and throw to. It'll give him a little bit more of a some aggressive opportunities. So I think that's first and foremost. The other thing is protect him, man. Find ways. If you have to keep a running back in the backfield, if you have to keep an extra tight end in the block, I know that that takes less guys in the route, but so be it. If that's the case, at least give Josh Allen enough time. He doesn't have to have, you know, everybody running free, but give him enough time so he feels comfortable to me in the pocket, right? I mean, even if it turns out to be an incompletion or he has to run eventually, at least he's not getting his third or fifth foot in the ground. They has to run, Howard. You know what I mean? I think that's what would really be spooky.
I was wondering about the whole idea of, there are two schools of thought with a young quarterback when it comes to protection. If you don't trust your offensive line, you can max protect, right? Keep extra guys in to, in theory, buy him more time. Or you go the opposite way and say what you just pointed out. If you max protect, there are less targets. You spread it out and you hope your offensive line can buy him 3 seconds or whatever, but you've got more targets flooding the field and at least he can get the ball out quicker or have more options to get the ball out.
Yeah, one of the things they did last week actually when he came in the game was they went five wides. That gives him an opportunity to identify coverage. What's that?
Go empty, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They went empty. They went the five wides. He could identify coverage that way. He could see exactly, he saw the man-to-man. And, you know, remember the long run up the middle that he had originally when he first came in the game? That was out of that, I believe. And as soon as he saw that the middle was vacated, basically he just took off, you know, and that was a good identification on his part. So I think that's one of the things you can do, too, is, you know, by formation, he can help identify coverage. So I think you want to give him some easy coverage reads, if you will. Use some motion to give you some coverage reads. Is the corner running with the receiver or the running back going in motion? If that's the case, it might be an indication of man-to-man. You could do some things that I think at least help him pre-snap, not just necessarily even post-snap.
Sal with us here on our AT&T hotline. You have any Bills questions for Sal? 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. Before you get into other matchups, let's do the injury report and find out what's going on in terms of that with the Bills. The injury report with Sal is brought to you by Univera Healthcare. Compare because you care at univeraforbusiness.com. What do you got?
Well, just like last week, guys, I'm going to tell you that the Bills are pretty healthy. Same injuries last week. Ray McLeod looks like, as of this point, I doubt he would play, but we'll see. You know, we'll get the injury update on him for the game when it comes up here later today. But he has really yet to practice this week, and he did not again yesterday. He's got that knee. And then you have Julian Stanford, a full participant, and the only two that did not participate are Taron Johnson with the shoulder and Shaq Lawson with the hamstring. And like I said, right now, you know, it's not looking good for them this late in the week, you know, but we'll see where we go. I think the more interesting injury situation is on the Chargers side of things. Joey Bosa is not going to play. I mean, that's pretty certain as of right now. And it doesn't look like Travis Benjamin is going to play either, the wide receiver. Okay. He is dealing with, I want to make sure, again, I get this right, he's dealing with a foot injury. He did not practice yesterday. Neither did Joe Barksdale, their right tackle. He's out so far. Did not practice all week. So they're dealing with some injuries on that side of the on the Chargers side. Craig Mager, the cornerback, hamstring, did not participate either.
the Bosa thing is big. I mean, last year, I think Bosa did more damage than Ingram. Bosa had like a sack and I think four quarterback hits, and that's a huge loss in this game for the Chargers. And at least from the Bills' standpoint, you know, I think maybe it'll be Dawkins, I guess, against Ingram, but you don't have to worry about dealing with Bosa on the other side.
No, that's right. I think though that if you are having, you know, you have a rookie quarterback, you know, back there, no matter if you have Joey Bosa or anybody, you're probably going to blitz him a lot, you know, so I think that either way, they're going to try and get pressure, and maybe without Bosa, that's even more so. You know, maybe they say basically, you know, Gus Bradley is the defensive coordinator. He's going to be aggressive, I think. He's, you know, got a bit of a reputation for that anyway, so he's probably going to come after him. One of the things that, you know, Nathan Peterman did speak this week. We talked with him about the situation last week, and as always, he's a professional in the locker room, but I asked him, I said, how much, even though the game didn't go your way last year, how much can you help Josh Allen knowing that this is the team that you prepared all week for last year, that you started against them? And he brought up a good point. He said, well, not only that, but he said also the Jaguars and the Atlanta Falcons, they run the same defense. And because he was on the team last year in the quarterback room, he prepared for them. So, you know, he can at least help Josh Allen out a little bit in some of the things he might see because of that Gus Bradley defense that they have seen a few times.
Yeah. It's kind of a postscript, but how did Peterman handle all the stuff when the media had a chance to talk to him this week?
Like a pro. I mean, he always does. You know, he stood and answered every question. He was accountable. He put a lot of onus on himself, and, you know, as he should. And he said, you know, I could have helped myself out. There were definitely checks that he said there were some checks at the line that he did not get them into good enough situations, which I thought was interesting. He talked about his accuracy. He said, I have to be more accurate. He mentioned the first interception where, you know, that was a pass that he definitely was not accurate on, and he should have been. But, you know, he also said it's a true test of your character as a man and how you're going to, you know, handle things like this. And, you know, he expects to rebound and be ready to go once again if his name is called.
The other day, Sal, after the quarterback stuff, Sean McDermott mentioned same five starting offensive linemen, but he said they're still working their way through the other starting cornerback. Any idea how that's proceeding and who might be playing opposite Trey White on Sunday?
Well, I mean, if Taron Johnson can't play, I would suspect you would move Phillip Gaines inside and put Vontae Davis back outside and start. But you don't have to do that if they're not, if they're not satisfied, if they're not confident in Vontae Davis being able to play, then they're not going to do that. You know what they did last week, Howard, was when Taron Johnson went out because Vontae wasn't available, Raphael Bush came in as an extra defensive back, and he dropped down into the box. So you used a safety basically in that big nickel package instead of a corner, and they could do that again as well.
Yeah, because Jeremy had mentioned, I guess the Chargers have been using Keenan Allen at times in the slot.
60% of his snaps were on the inside last week.
So if they do that, what do the Bills do? How do they match up to that? Trey White wouldn't play in the slot, would he?
No,
How would you match up against Keenan Allen in that case?
Whoever's there is there. The Bills don't really do that. They don't like say, well, there's Keenan Allen, we're going to move you over here. I mean, they could put that in this week if they wanted to, but generally it's each guy has, you know, it's your left side, right side. You know, Trey White's on the left, Vontae Davis or Phillip Gaines is on the right, and whoever's in the slot is in the slot, and then you just go cover and you do the best you can. And, you know, that might not be sexy or the answer people want to hear. He's a really great receiver, but I don't think they're not going to go by matchups because, look, if you start doing that, then if you're the Chargers, you can also start dictating some things. You know, the Bills don't want to do that. They don't want to, you know, necessarily put Keenan Allen in the slot. Let's say you put Tre'Davious White on him. They don't want to put him in the slot and then suddenly like, well, now this is the matchup we create in the outside because we have a huge matchup on another guy. So, you know, they're going to go play where they play normally, not have to worry about that. So I don't know. I mean, it really just comes down to what package they feel more comfortable. And with Melvin Gordon as a running back, I wouldn't be surprised to see a third safety on the field instead of a corner if Taron Johnson can't play.
Yeah, there's, you know, it's not just as much as you might think about Keenan Allen because he terrified the Bills last year. The latest in a long line of Mike Williams NFL receivers is playing for the Chargers. He was injured last year. He had a good game last week against Kansas City. And you mentioned Melvin Gordon. He had over 100 yards receiving, so you got to worry about him in the running game, but he's also a threat in their passing game. My point is, Sal, there are a multitude of weapons that Phillip Rivers has that you got to deal with.
Did you hear Phillip Rivers last week said, we could have thrown for 600 yards.
Yeah, that,
that's what he said. And by the way, he might have been right.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what he said about the Kansas City game. That, and look, I don't think the Chiefs' defense is all that good, especially their secondary. I think they're pretty leaky this year, pretty weak. But that I'm not taking anything away from Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. You know, in my 5 years, this is my fifth year now, in my four-plus years on the sidelines, there are just certain guys that I've seen play that I'm like, you know, wow. I mean, that guy, he's what a great football player. And Phillip Rivers is one of them. And the first time I saw him on the field was the year, was it 2014? The Bills, they had him here in Buffalo. It was also a September game. And I just was so impressed with him. I mean, I've always been an admirer of Phillip Rivers anyway, but he just stood out on the field. He's bigger than you think when you're down there. He's a big guy. And just the way he throws the football, just everything he can do out there. I don't know how to describe it, but he's one of the rare people I would put on a list to say, boy, he just really stands out when he's down there of how great he is.
Sal here on our AT&T hotline, 803-0550 to participate in Football Friday. Rob, you're on with Sal here on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was just wondering, Sal, if you thought, do you have any rumblings? Are you hearing anything about the Bills signing a veteran, maybe a Matt Moore or somebody like that? My only concern is now, you know, a lot of Bills fans probably feel the same way. If, you know, Josh Allen gets dinged up, then obviously we've got to put Peterman back in there, and that just doesn't seem like a viable option for us if we want to be successful. So I just don't do it. Is that even in their MO, or are they looking? Or, I mean, I know,
you
know.
I think I would say they're always looking. I would say they're always evaluating, but don't look for it this week. It's Friday, right? I mean, so that's not happening this week. If something happens to Josh Allen this week, Nathan Peterman's going in. And on top of that, if you do sign somebody, how long does it take for them even to get up to speed? If they sign somebody next Monday, for example, after this game, I don't think that they would even be ready to necessarily play. So you're probably looking at a few weeks out, even for someone to come in, that could, you know, help out. I understand the concern, and I think it's a valid concern and a fair concern. But right now it's Nathan Peterman, and I wouldn't expect anything anytime soon, anyone to be ready, but I wouldn't discount the possibility. They could very well bring somebody in here, and guys, they might just not like anybody out there. That's the thing. I like Matt Moore too, actually. You know, he actually has some roots back in Carolina where this regime was. But you know, they might not just like anybody who's out there. It might not necessarily be that they don't want to bring someone in. They just don't like their options.
Let me get one more call. Excuse me, Randall in Blaisdell. You're on with Sal. Go right ahead.
Morning. Considering the track record of ownership over the course of the last few years, and then taking the Sabres into account, you had Bosma, who was 2 years in. You had Buddy Sun, who was 2 years in, and now you got McDermott, who's in his second year. Do you think that ownership has this regime on a short leash at this point, or do they believe in the process?
I want to give my opinion on this.
I was going to say let Jeremy handle this after the discussion we had yesterday about the Bovada
I think
stuff.
There is no chance they're on the hot seat. No chance. As much as we can point to Rex being fired after 2 years, why was Rex fired after 2 years?
A lot of personality
right,
crap going
because
on.
He embarrassed them. Yeah. Why was Tim Murray fired? Similarly, he kind of embarrassed them. And Sean McDermott does not embarrass ownership. Sean McDermott also got the team to the playoffs. It is the same ownership group that, remember the famous phrase about Darcy Regier? What's he done wrong? Like that, there is, if the owner feels good about the people working for them, if the owners feel good about, they're going to keep that guy. I think Sean McDermott is as safe can possibly be. I'm prepared to be wrong on this, but he made the playoffs. He killed the drought for them. He does not embarrass them outside of the Peterman stuff, which they might support because they think Peterman's a nice kid too. Mm-hmm. So I think there is zero chance that this coaching staff, that this GM, maybe there's a rift there. If there's a rift there, that's different. But I think Sean McDermott is among the most safe coaches in the NFL.
I agree. You said everything I would say, Jeremy. Unless something happens, like internal strife of some sort.
Like if they feel like a Rex, the Doug Whaley thing is starting, right? If it's, oh my God, we went through this.
I don't think it would have to be starting, Howard. It would have to be full blown.
Happening, yeah. And they don't want to go through it again. So they just decide to part ways with one of the two guys. Yeah. All right, Capaccio. Well, we'll see you Sunday. Stay hydrated and I guess sunscreen. I don't want you to burn.
Yeah, new location for us too for the radio
field
stuff
house.
Outside.
Yes, make sure you go to the proper location.
Make sure people know.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a lot. I don't know if people know. You've been over there, Howard. A lot of construction over there.
No,
right
I haven't.
They're building an. I think I want to say eight.
Is that
someone
the new
else
weight
wrote 18.
Room? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a new weight room. So it's lots of millions of dollars weight room that's going in, and it's right in front of the where the ticket office is. There's no parking there anymore, and then extends out by the field house. There's no parking, so you have to navigate. So people who are listening. When you go there, you know, you have to navigate through there if you want to come see us. It's walkable. There are parking areas over there, but not where right in front of the ticket office, like I said. Even for media, when we show up now, that's where we normally park.
Yeah.
That is not, we can't park there anymore. So I just want people to be aware when they go in there. There's a lot of construction, and you can find us. You can navigate your way, and I'm sure there's going to be great people and parking attendants and security. They're going to help everybody, but it is a little different.
The Fieldhouse lot is still open, right? Still there, isn't it, for parking?
Fieldhouse lot. Which one is that? When you pull in?
The lot when you come in through the little guard booth and you turn right.
Yep,
that's where I've been parking. Like that.
Well, that's where I'm. No, that's where the construction is.
So where am I supposed to?
I mean, you can go. You can keep going, right?
Yeah,
you can keep
just
going
further
right,
down.
Right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, you just got to go further down.
You got to go a little further down. Yeah, but if you pull in the through the gate and right to the right there, you cannot park there anymore. That's where all the construction is.
Depending on how far down I have to park, can you pick me up from my car and drive me
no,
to the
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. You okay. Walking is good for you, especially in 80-degree weather.
All right, but I'm dragging a bag with a computer. All right, fine. Thank you, Sal. We'll see you Sunday.
All right, guys. You're welcome.
Sal taking us behind the scenes with the Bills. Brought to you by Outlet Liquor for the lowest everyday prices in the state. Shop Outlet Liquor. It is Football Friday. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550, and you can share your thoughts on Sunday's game. Who are the key players for the Bills to try and pull off a win Sunday over the L.A. Chargers? Josh Allen and who else? Because we know you're going to include Josh Allen. Whatever else on your mind, you can join us and call. When we get back, Bills running back Marcus Murphy is going to join us next on WGR.
The only way you can take WGR Sports Radio 550 with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Brought to you by GEICO Local Office, West Seneca.
Seems like Philip Rivers kind of directs them, is like the captain of the ship, and so keying into some of the stuff that he does. Decent, solid group up front.
This Bills rookie defensive tackle, Harrison Phillips. They've got their work cut out for him taking on Philip Rivers, who has only thrown one pick in his career against the Bills and four career starts against the Buffalo Bills. The Bills injury report. Teron Johnson did not practice yesterday. Shoulder, Shaq Lawson, Ray McLeod, neither of those guys practiced yesterday as well. For Lawson, it's a hamstring. For McLeod, it's a knee. The big injury news from the Chargers, Joey Bosa ruled out for this game. Still up in the air, the status of Travis Benjamin, one of their wide receivers, and their starting right tackle, Joe Barksdale. Barksdale was injured last week in the opener against Kansas City. Thursday Night Football last night, Cincinnati beat Baltimore 34-23. Big night for Andy Dalton, 265 yards, four touchdowns. Three of those went to A.J. Green. If you have A.J. Green, congratulations on your fantasy production last night. From the DNP list, did not practice, quarterbacks Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger both sitting out their respective practices for the second straight day. Hall of Fame nominees are out. The list is some 102 players and coaches long. First-time eligibles include Tony Gonzalez and Ed Reed and former Bill London Fletcher. Erik Karlsson finally traded from Ottawa to San Jose for a gazillion pieces.
Not that much, though. The Sabres are involved here. One of those picks is conditional. If the Sharks make the playoffs, the Sabres get their first-round pick. If they don't make the playoffs, the Senators get that pick.
And then the Sabres get the first-rounder in 2020 from San Jose.
If they put off right, right.
If they don't make the playoffs,
their next,
I'll eat your flip-flop that you ate for the Vegas
pick. It's on record. That's all it takes right there. Boom, done. All right, good. the next two Sharks first-round picks belong to the Sabres and Senators in one way or another.
How would San Jose... I mean, three guys have, like, four. There has to be a run of injuries or the worst case of hand, foot, and mouth disease in recorded
right.
history.
Well, as soon as the Karlsson trade went down, I made a point to take a peek at what their Stanley Cup odds were. They were good last year.
Yep.
And I saw that they were 20-1.
That's really good.
That's going to move. That's not going to stay
it
there.
It has
with
to change.
It's going to move.
10-1? Too much of a jump? What do you think?
I think you should go to about 12.
Yeah. It is still, the West is still pretty stacked.
Since last night, I checked again. Last night it was 20. This morning it's 18.
Yeah.
I think by opening day it might be down to 12.
The Sabres will open their training camp this morning at Harbor Center. The practices are free and open to the public. First session at from 9:45 to 11:15, and the second session is from 11:45 to 1:15. Tyler Seguin gets a contract extension from Dallas, 8 years, an average of $9.85 million. The headlines brought to you by Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
Coming up in an hour, Murph. Also right now, Murph.
Murph, that's right. Two Murphs.
It's a good day. They posted on the Bills website, Marcus Murphy. Nickname, Murph.
No, that nickname was already taken.
We got two Murphs on the
show. The play-by-play guy is nicknamed.
They're both Murph.
All right, we have to figure this one out. Marcus is joining us on our AT&T hotline. Marcus, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
We have to find you a new nickname, Marcus.
Yeah, I know. My guy Murph has the talk show, so, you know, I don't know. We have to come up with something.
No one ever called you Eminem, Marcus Murphy?
I did. I had that back in college at Mizzou. A couple people call me Eminem.
Okay.
So we could go with that.
All right. You never know. But, hey, listen, by the way, belated congratulations on making the roster. I'm not saying this just because you're on the show with us, but, you know, you were certainly a lot of fun to watch in the preseason, and you had a nice day against Baltimore as well. Just, I mean, you've been in the league before, so it's not like this is your first time in this rodeo, but just talk a little bit about, you know, how the preseason went for you and the fact that you were able to land a spot on the 53-man roster.
The preseason was good. I just wanted to take an approach, you know, get better every day, improve with every rep, and just take advantage of each opportunity. So, you know, I had that mindset going in each day of practice and each game. And, you know, I just took it one play at a time, one day at a time, and, you know, just kept stacking my days, and it got me here.
Do you think, if you look back at New Orleans and the Jets and now the Bills and where you are right now, and you got a good number of touches the other day in the Ravens game, do you feel like this is your best opportunity so far in your NFL career?
Yes. You know, the other teams I've been, you know, mainly involved in kick return and punt return and the special teams. And here I am too, but I'm given the opportunity to do some things on offense and, you know, get in the offensive scheme. So, you know, I'm a player that just wants to make a play, you know, whether I'm on offense or defense. I mean, offense or special teams. I mean, you know, I'm getting a lot of opportunities to just come out and prove myself. You know, like I said, getting some carries, getting some touches on offense as well as being a returner. So, you know, I just want to come out and help the team however I can and, you know, just be able to execute when they call my name.
Did you ever play defense on any level?
I did. I played defense in high school. I played cornerback, played defensive back, you know. So it's kind of early right now. That's why I said defense. But, yeah, special teams, is, you know, special teams, offense, all three phases are very important to the game. So, you know, I just want to come out and execute and be able to make a play wherever I am.
Hey, when Taron Johnson went down the other day, any chance you went up to Leslie Frazier and said, "Hey, just so you know"?
I do it a lot. I give the coach a couple jokes every day about playing defense. You know, I take pride in just being able to make a play. So I think I could, you know, I think I could go out and line up as a nickel or
corner. The big story, Marcus, Sunday, of course, is Josh Allen. Josh Allen getting his first start. In the time that you have been around him and watched him, what are some of the things that stand out to you?
I mean, he's a really smart player already. You know, he's a great rookie. I think he's prepared to come in and, you know, learn how to be a pro. He's taking that approach. He learns and executes every day. You know, he learns something new, I think, about reading the defense. You know, you can tell that he's just growing as a quarterback. He has a great arm, you know, he's a great leader, you know, just a great guy to be in a position to come out and you know, try to lead the team to get a victory.
How much do you and LeSean McCoy and Chris Ivory and guys think about, you know, if the old axiom is, the saying is, if you really want to help a rookie quarterback, a young quarterback, you have a really good running game. How much have you guys taken it on yourselves this week to do everything you can to help out Josh in his debut?
I mean, not only this week, you know, we take that approach every week. You know, we want to come out and be a group that the team could rely on, you know, playmakers that the offense can rely on and, you know, just bring some energy and enthusiasm, you know, to the offense. So, you know, it's a big deal. Like you said, we have a rookie back, so, you know, a quarterback, so we want to come out as backs and, you know, be able to protect them and be able to establish the run game just to, you know, help them out.
We're with Marcus Murphy, Bills running back, on the AT&T hotline. I definitely wanted to ask you about LeSean McCoy, Marcus. And not from the standpoint of, I wouldn't think a young running back would look at LeSean McCoy and try and mimic his running style. It's really very distinct, and it's hard to do. So what do you learn from a guy like LeSean McCoy? If it isn't copying his style, how does he help a guy like you out?
I mean, we spend a lot of time together, you know. I just ask him a lot of questions just to see, you know, how he thinks in different situations and, you know, the things he would do. I can't mimic his style, but, you know, I take a lot of the details and technique things that he used and try to involve that in my game. You know, and he helps a lot, you know, like watching films and things like that. I just try to see the things that he sees so I can understand how he's thinking. And, you know, it's helped me become a better back.
Do you, as a running back, do you appreciate maybe more so some of the things you see as opposed to fans and media members? And we sit here and watch him do, you know, the whole cut on a dime thing. As a running back, would you appreciate it any more because you know how difficult it is to do what he's doing on the field?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I understand totally. You know, I'm here with him day in and day out. And just to see the type of work and the guy he is, you know, on and off the field, you know, it just speaks to how good of a player he is. And, you know, he does all the things right. You know, he knows what he's doing. And, you know, he's a smart player. So, you know, I just try to learn all I can from him and, you know, apply some to my game.
So when you're away from the football field, what do you like to do? How do you relax?
I mean, you know, just on my downtime, I get with a lot of players. You know, we're trying to build a family atmosphere. So, you know, I hang out with a lot of the guys. You know, we just spend a lot of time chilling, listening to music. We spend a lot of time playing the new Madden. You know, that's something I've been doing for a while, and I'm pretty good. So, you know, a lot of the guys, they try to take my throne. I feel like I'm the king here, the Madden king. So, you know, we just chill out, you know, and just have a lot of fun together, you know, and spend some time together building a good team for him.
I was going to ask you, who is the best Madden player on the team, but do you believe it's you?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think it's me.
Who do you use?
I know it's me. I play with a lot of different teams. I'm good with the Bills.
Great. That's good. That's good. Did you play the Bills versus the Chargers this week by any chance?
I haven't played the Chargers yet.
All right.
I haven't.
Here's the real question. If you get a fourth down, are you going for it? Fourth and two?
Of course.
Yeah.
On Madden, I'm an aggressive player. You know, I think coach is a very aggressive player. You know, I'm a very aggressive coach. So on Madden, you know, I try to mimic that and be aggressive. So I'm going for it on fourth.
And you always have your kick returner return the kickoff, right?
Always. We're coming out nine deep. We're coming out.
Hey, you've done a nice job on the returns, too. I like it because I think, you know, sometimes you can overthink it and maybe dance around a little bit, but you are I think you take the approach of, like, being shot out of a cannon. You just get the ball, you look for the opening, and you run north-south.
Right. That's the most important thing. You know, I use my vision that I have as a back, and I treat it like an offensive play, you know, take advantage of each opportunity. So, you know, once I see a hole, I try to hit it as good as I can and, you know, just, you know, create a field position. That's the most important thing, the most important part of the game, field position. So, you know, coming out and making a good play on special teams, that's helping out the offense. So, you know, I just try to come out and make the most of each play.
Well, continued success on offense and special teams, and in a pinch if they need you on defense. And good luck Sunday. Thanks for coming on with us, Marcus.
All right. I appreciate you having me.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
Thank you. Marcus Murphy, Bills running back, our insider on Football Friday today. The insider segment brought to you by Northwest. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. And by Reed's Gens, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills.
Winerline when we get back. And boy, do I have
it's teed up, ready to go.
Oh, it's going to be so good. Ooh. Let's just say one of those things that I maybe I obsess about.
I got to add to the list. Well, a new obsession?
No. This is a consistent one.
Oh, okay.
And every time I talk about it, I hear, no, it can't happen because of this.
Oh, I know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it is. Okay, very good.
Mm-hmm. So much for that theory.
You know, I called to give an evaluation of Howard and Jeremy's analysis of the Bills-Ravens game. But I have to tell you, I have to go back and listen to the tape. And not only am I going to listen to the tape, I'm going to listen to myself making this call to evaluate myself as a caller. And then once again, I'm going to listen to the tape.
Wine-a-line. I'm doing my best.
I'm thinking of benching myself. I think it's the right move for this show.
Yeah. I'm doing my best to do the how many 300-yard games the Bills have had in their franchise history.
I got the answer.
Is it 59 or 60?
It's 76.
76. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was actually higher than that.
Yes.
76. For some reason, Pro Football Reference, I did it the first time and it came around 76. I'm doing it again and they're only giving me 30.
Yeah. No, the fine media relations staff at the Bills, I don't know if Kevin wants me to actually mention his name, but texted me and said, "Hey, you moron, it's in the media guide." He didn't say that, but it is in the media guide. So thank you, Kevin. And it is right there and it is 76. So the Bills as a franchise have more individual 300-yard passing games than Philip Rivers. He has 58. So there you go. My morning is complete now.
Here's my wine. So this comes courtesy. Thank you, Matt Kane, for figuring this out. He covers for puckplusplus.com and works at Hockey Graphs. Hey there. Hey, Howard. How you doing?
Good. How are
you? Every time we talk about how players should be offer sheeted. Someone should offer sheet Willie Nylander today.
I'll tell you why you can't do that.
Well, why is that?
Because you're just going to anger other GMs around the league, and if you do that, you're going to be blackballed.
Gotcha. So the idea, by the way, I don't know if you can offer sheet today, but anyway, the idea is that if you do a GM dirty, he'll never trade with you again, right?
Correct.
That's very interesting to point out. I see that the Ottawa Senators traded Eric Karlsson to the Sharks.
They did, yes. Huh.
They must have a really good relationship, Pierre Dorion and... Doug Wilson. Must have a really good relationship. They must have had deals in the past where they're only friends, right? That's what happens?
No. I mean, they wouldn't. I'm off script. Yes, absolutely. They're good buddies.
Gotcha.
And that's why you always trade with a guy you get along with.
That's right. That's why Mike Hoffman? Is that who it was?
Yes. From the Senators.
Funny. They did. I feel like they did the Mike Hoffman deal where the Sharks acquired Mike Hoffman. So clearly there's a good relationship between those two, right?
Sure.
Wait, who's Hoffman play for?
The Florida Panthers.
Oh, that's right. So the GM of the Sharks did him dirty and dealt him back into his own division.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
And then when Pierre Dorion, the GM of Ottawa, was going to make the most important trade of his entire career, he went to the same guy?
Yeah. Because the Sharks traded Hoffman to Florida and screwed Ottawa over a little bit. Yeah.
Huh. How about that? Okay.
You didn't even wear the T-shirt today.
Which T-shirt?
The Snark.
The Snark Cannon?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, no one will ever trade with you. If you ever do a GM wrong, the whole league will turn you down. How about this? The one guy that did you wrong got freaking Eric Karlsson.
And gave up. They didn't give up their top two defensive prospects.
They gave up nothing.
They gave up a couple prospects. One, I think, was fourth in their organization. One was... top 100 in the Hockey News list, but apparently the top two young defensemen they have in their organization, they didn't give either one of those.
Thanks to, again, Matt Cain for bringing that to my attention. The way he said it was, Dorion got absolutely hosed by Wilson and went back to him 3 months later to make the most important trade of his career.
When he had other options. There were other
Every other team in the league would have done it.
My favorite hockey note of the day, you ready? Great to be Tyler Ennis today. Do you know why?
He's going
to
play with Austin Matthews.
He is on Austin Matthews' line as long as Willie Nylander is unsigned. Tyler Ennis has got to be sitting there thinking, Willie, stick to your guns. How much are they offering you? Six? Man, they are lowballing you, Willie. That's an insult. That is a slap in the face. Dude, you're an $8 million a year player. I would not take that offer from the Leafs. He's got to be loving life. Austin Matthews.
And Austin Matthews will never see the puck ever again in the light of day.
Tyler do a little whirling dervish stuff.
I bet it'll be just fine if he plays on that line.
Imagine, Tyler Ennis, you got to love that.
He signed for $600,000. I think that is a good gamble for the Leafs.
Oh, what a great break for him. And apparently the Leafs and Nylander are pretty far apart in terms of money. Like supposedly he's looking for eight and they're offering like six. You don't go down that road.
So what would happen if some team swooped in and signed him for eight? What would the Leafs do?
I would assume they would match it.
Right. So do it.
Why do you get obsessed over these things?
Because it makes sense, and I get obsessed about things that make sense.
Okay. But you can't change the world, young man.
I can try.
All right. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. It is Football Friday, and we're talking Bills Chargers with you. Football Friday presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. And by Tops Markets Grocery Delivery. Order online while you enjoy the game. So who are the key players? Who need to come up big for the Bills? The key guys to help them win Sunday to beat the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm going to assume Josh Allen is on everybody's list. So Josh Allen and who? I got a tweet about Trey White, anticipating him matched up on Keenan Allen. I got a tweet about the offensive line has to come up big. Got a few tweets picking on the defense. Hey, where's the pass rush? It'd be nice if the pass rush showed up. Jerry Hughes, live up to your big contract. So who else with Josh has to come up big for the Bills on Sunday? Whatever else is on your mind, we'll talk about it with you. 803-0550 or 888-552-550 to join us. Football Friday, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.